reading, but it's a good one. It's a good one, isn't it, Carol? Lots in it. There you go. Just clip it.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's a lovely morning again, isn't it? So much to thank God for. Today I'm going to read out, and today's reading is taken from Romans 12, verses 1 to 21. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body and many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is mercy, showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fever serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Thank you.
Take your machine with me.
It's all going wrong. There we go. Yeah, that was in mind, mate. You know, there's loads. That was such a big reading, it was. And, you know, you, as for someone who speaks, you could speak on that message, that reading. There's loads of sort of messages in there. There's so many you could take out of that. It's worth going back looking at that. Romans 12, verses 1 to 21. But all I'm going to do is actually just look at one verse. I'm going to look at verse 9. Verse 9 said this: love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Love must be sincere, meaning that when we love, we must really mean it. We don't just say it. In some ways, what it has to do is it has to come from somewhere deeper within us, doesn't it? Hate what is evil. Hate is a serious word. It's not just this dislike, not just disapprove of, not just shake our heads and tut at it. Hate what is evil. That's quite a serious word. And then cling to what is good. Cling, hold very, very, very tightly to. And it's mainly that last bit that I'm going to focus on this morning. Cling to what is good. There was a diver in Korea who was found earlier this year clinging to a broken surfboard. The man had become lost from his friends and disorientated in the water. All he could do was cling to the board despite suffering from hypothermia. He recovered from the ordeal, but imagine, it says here, how tightly he must have gripped the board that saved him. A question this morning, really, in some ways, is what are you clinging to at the moment? Are you clinging to relationships? What about health? What about job security? Your finances? Or perhaps you've got future plans that you're clinging to? I just think we need to be really careful of that. Because those sort of things, for me, it's a little bit like when I do DIY. What I mean by that is I have a plan. I might have watched YouTube and think, I could do that. But actually, it just never works out the way that I plan it. Normally, then I have to get someone else in. See, the issue for me is I think nothing is fully reliable or predictable in this world in which we live in today. Things break. Things get stolen. Things can let us down. People can let us down. They can walk away. Circumstances and plans can change very, very quickly. Things of this world can sometimes and will often fail us. So I just think we have to be really careful what we cling to, what we hold tightly to in this world. So my first point, really, if you want to put it like that, is that the Bible, Romans 12, verse 9, encourages us to cling to what is good. Now, for me, this is not just about avoiding or resisting evil or bad. But for me, it's about actively, intentionally going for good. When I wrote that down in my notes first time, I put going for gold. Do you remember that TV program with that guy on? What was that guy called? I'm trying to remember his name. What was his name? Matthew Kelly. Do you remember that Henry Kelly, going for... Anyway, we're not going for gold. It's about intentionally going for good. And the word cling implies more than just noticing good or appreciating good things. It suggests a deliberate and persistent effort to go after and hold on to them. What is good? But then there is a bit of a question around, well, what actually is good? Now, deep down, I still want to believe that most people know what good is. I heard many years ago, but this really stuck with me. I heard a father speaking, and he said these words, "My children might end up doing bad things, but my role as their father is to make sure if they do, they know it." I found that quite... But we were saying that, you know, obviously he wants to bring them up well, he wants to bring them up good. Obviously in the end, these children will grow up, they'll end up doing what they do. He doesn't want them to do bad things, but they could end up doing bad things. But he said what his role was, as they grew up, they would know what bad things were. So they would have an understanding if they chose that's what they were doing. But what is good? Good for me is the opposite of bad. And I think most people know what that is. That bad is dishonesty, isn't it? It's greed, it's jealousy, it's unfaithfulness, it's toxic relationships, it's prejudice, it's addiction. And the list goes on. If I was asked people what is bad, tell me things that are bad, you would just keep going. There'll be a big list. We know what bad is, and good is the opposite then of bad. And I think, yes, sometimes we need discernment. It's not always easy to tell what is good from what is bad. Not everything that looks and sounds right and good in this world is right and good in this world. So we do need to be very discerning. But the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 9, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." What is good? Well, good is truth for me. It's about justice. It's about respect and fairness and kindness and practicing healthy habits and honesty and love and a kind of a moral value of who we are. Know what is good and cling to what is good. Do not become weary of doing good. Now, put a little note here, because when it comes to some bad things, I think some people say, well, everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it. So everyone else has got a knock-off stick for the telly so they can watch dodgy channels and they're not paying for it. Well, everyone else does it. Some of you are like, uh-oh. Just one example. But you see, it's not about what others do. It's about who we are. It's about who you want to be. So it's in the end, it's about what you do. Not doing bad just because someone else is doing it. It's not an excuse. It's who you want to be. And so what you want to do. And the Bible encourages us. The Bible says to us, always go for good. Cling to what is good. The second thing I want to say this morning is this. Cling to God. And cling to God's word. Mark 10, verse 18 says this, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except for God alone." Cling to what is good also means cling to God who is good. We sometimes sing, in fact we will sing today, "He is our good, good Father." Why can we? Why do we need to cling to God? Well, I think it's because he's faithful, because he's unchanging, because he's true, because he is everlasting. we can rely on God. Now, I have to tell you today that sadly, it might come as a bit of a shock to you, but my wife, Alison, sometimes, actually more recently, quite a few times, she's lost Jesus, really. She's been losing Jesus. Now, she's not having a crisis of faith. What's happening is, she's got one of these little Easter Jesuses that we gave out. Do you remember in our Easter service? And she puts it in a pocket and stuff like that. But more recently, she keeps saying, oh, I've lost Jesus. And sometimes I find him in the washing machine, spinning around. Sometimes she reckons that she's lost him on purpose and somebody somewhere has been asking for a sign from God and they've looked down on the floor and their little Jesus has been looking up at them. I don't know. But more recently, she said, I've lost Jesus again and I've got a few stashed away and she keeps going back and finding new Jesuses. See, really, once we have Jesus, we can't lose Jesus. See, he won't break. He can't be stolen. He won't let us down. He won't walk away from us. He won't change. And he won't fail us. That's why we can cling to God and we can cling to Jesus. There's a song, a worship song entitled Your Love Never Fails. And it says these words. Nothing can separate, even if I run away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. When the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me and that your love never fails. That's why we need to, that's why we can cling to God, because he won't let us down, he won't be stolen away, he won't sort of change. He's reliable and everlasting, and we can hold on to him because he's faithful. So we need to cling to what is good, but we also need to cling to God. And I think also we need to cling to God's word, which is the Bible. We need to cling to the promises that are held within the Bible. We need to cling to the truth in the Bible. We need to cling to God's guidance and his teaching for living life in our world. We need to read it. We need to learn it. And we need to live by it. That's why in some ways I'm quite excited again about doing this new Bible course again, this new edition of Bible course. Because I'm convinced that as God's people, we need his word and we need to cling to his word and we need to get into his word more and more and understand it and its teachings. And it's not always easy to do, and I understand that and all the different battles that go on around that. But I pray that many people will do the new Bible course and it will give you this deeper understanding of God's word. It will give you a better picture of the word of God and how it relates to us today. And it will just be an investment in our faith and it will be an investment in our God relationship. Like Jamie prayed earlier on, we've just finished doing this J. John 10 Commandments course. Looking at these 10 commandments given to God's people over 3,000 years ago, but we've been seeing again in a fresh way just how relevant they are to us today. How much we need to take hold of them today and let them be part of shaping our lives today. God's word, cling to God, cling to God's word. See, in the end, the world will often try and tear us away. It'll try and tear us away from good. It'll try and tear us away from God. And it will often try and tear us away from God's word. In fact, the word, I think, cling, implies that this will happen. It's not just take my hand, we'll be fine. Cling to it, because actually he knows that there will be a tearing away, or the world will try and tear us away from some of these things. Sometimes there will be a battle. Sometimes there'll be a pull, a tug of war, a tearing, a temptation, a distraction. And for me, it's always heartbreaking when you see people getting torn away from good, and you see people getting torn away from God. And it's heartbreaking when we see it happen. I think we need to live like the man in the story, clinging to his surfboard. See, God is our surfboard. God is our rescuer, our fortress, our rock, our anchor. I think we need to cling to God, especially when there's trouble in this world. Psalm 63 verse 8 says, I cling to you, your right hand upholds me. I think we need to cling to God in this world. Through all that the world will throw at us, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad, we need to cling on to God. But especially in those times of trouble. You know what? In the Bible, one of my favorite stories of the Bible is Moses. You know, most of you know the story of Moses, or parts of it quite well, that God chose Moses to lead his people out of Egypt and free them. And they went into the desert. They went through the Red Sea. They went into the desert towards the Promised Land. First time they messed up and they had to do a big circle and they had to get back to the Promised Land. And in that journey, all kinds of stuff happened to God and God's people. God provided for them food and drink. He led them. He taught them. All kinds of stuff happened. But right at the end of Moses' life, he kind of steps before the people enter the Promised Land. And unfortunately, he gets to see the Promised Land but not actually enter it himself. But what he does is he gives this kind of last sermon, this last message to the people of God. Part of, you find it in Deuteronomy 30. And part of it says these words. This is Moses to God's people. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. I want to encourage you today to hold on, to cling to what is good in this world. Know what is good. Cling to it. Persevere it. Go after it with everything you can. But I'm also going to encourage you to hold fast and to cling to your God, who is faithful and everlasting and true, and will not be broken and will not fail you. And cling to his word, his teaching, and his guidance, and his help through all that life goes. Cling to God who is good. And then finally, I really want to just encourage you about this, because I think God also clings to us. You know, sometimes when we let go, and sometimes we do, I think the good news is that God clings to us. Matthew 14, we have the story of the disciples on the lake. Not a nice night, a bit stormy night. And they see something coming towards them. And they recognize in the end it's Jesus. He's walking on the water towards them. And there's this little interaction between Jesus and Peter. And in the end, Jesus invites Peter to walk on the water towards him. It says this, come, he said. This is Jesus. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to cry. Cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I mean, that's a great story that lets us know that actually God also clings to us. You know, when life becomes like a storm and the winds start to blow, and maybe in that moment, we feel sometimes like we're sinking. We might feel that we're afraid in that moment. Maybe in that moment we find it hard ourselves to hold on to our faith and to hold on to Jesus. But I believe in that moment, Jesus reaches out to us and he catches us and he holds us. See, as we can cling to God, sometimes the temptation is, for whatever the reason, the storm is around and the wind is there, we're distracted from Jesus and we let go. It's when he clings to us and he holds on to us. Again, we sometimes sing a song that says this, "Oh no, you never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, in every high and every low, you never let go of me." And there are many people in this church who can testify that over the years, that's their experience of God. That they've gone through some hard stuff, they've gone through some troubles, and they've gone through difficult times, and maybe in those moments the temptation is to just, "I can't do it any God anymore, I can't cope, I'm struggling to hold on," and we kind of sometimes feel like we've let go. It's when God holds on to us, and he keeps us in close to him. And it's not about a feeling, it's about a fact. You know, he is our good shepherd. We sang about it earlier on. To us, each one of us is important. You and me are important to God. And he won't let us go. He won't let us down because we are special to him. Whatever the world is throwing at us, yes, cling to him. Two hands, get in as much as you can. You know, sometimes when we were young, when Emma was young, sorry, I forgot, didn't tell this. When Emma was very young, sometimes in the night she'd get up and come into our bed. And if you come into our bedroom, our bed's here, so I'm there first, okay? Got to go around the bed, and there's Alison. She would walk around the bed. She would get in with Alison, and she would press herself as close as possible to Alison. I'd be shuffling away, pretending to be asleep, turning the other way. She would cling like a koala bear. Cling to God. Hold on to good. Hold on to his word. But know also that through it all, God will hold on to us. You know, there's a song by Lauren Daigle, and I'm going to finish this part with these words. It's a song called "Hold On To Me." And I love the way she's expressing this to God. You know, and she's just being real that sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes it's great. It's easy to hold on to God. It's easy to know God's presence. We keep going with that. God loves that and he encourages us more and more for that. But what Lauren Daigle in this song, "Hold On To Me," is saying that sometimes it's not like that. And she's asking God, would he hold on to me? The song says these words. "When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not someone that I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light the night has stolen, when I'm slamming all the doors that you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's dark, when it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end. Hold on to me, I forgot I need you. When I let go, hold me again. When I don't feel like I'm worth defending, when I'm tired of all my pretending, hold on to me. When I start to break in desperation, underneath the weight of expectation, hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you, when I'm sure that I have reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, hold me again. I could rest here in your arms forever, because I know nobody loves me better." hold on to me. Those words are powerful and true. And I'm sure there are times when we feel like that, some of those sentiments that Lauren Daigle shares. And we can pray that prayer, God, would you hold on to me? When I've got friends or family members that are dealing with cancer, God, would you hold on to me? When my finances are stretched, when my relationships are broken, when the circumstances of the world cause me to just feel in chaos and anxiety, would you hold on to me? And he does, because he's our good, good Father. Let's sing that.